Welcome to module number 4, Building Client Rapport. Let's go to Bloemfontein, South Africa, and join the live audience session. Who would agree with me there are certain types of people that you don't feel comfortable with? Certain personality types that kind of turn you off. And there's certain types of people that you feel comfortable with. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at building rapport with different types of people, but understanding the types of people. Now, there's lots of what we call personality profile instruments in the marketplace where you can sit down and fill out an assessment tool, and it'll give you feedback on your personality style and how you operate. But what we've developed is a quick read tool so that you can do it very quickly when you take and meet somebody. And when it comes to selling, the better you know an individual, as we talked earlier, the better off you're going to be. And not only that, but the better you know yourself. So one has to know themselves, you got to know another individual well. Over the next few minutes, you'll need to visually see the slides that I'll be talking about with the live audience. We've edited out a fair amount of the interaction and have focused mainly on describing the different personality styles and how to sell to them. In your manual is a step-by-step process on how to plot your own style or the personality style of another person. After listening to the audio tape or audio CD, go to the manual, study the material more closely. If you want to follow along with the live session and plot your personality style, you'll need slides 2, 4, 6, 12, and 16. That's slides 2, 4, 6, 12, and 16 in front of you. We've also supplied all the slides used in this module so you can use them to closely follow the entire live audience session with the slides if you choose. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you go to that slide number 2, and I'm going to ask you to do this. I want you to, on that first line from 0 to 10, I want you to give yourself a number where you think you'd be most of the time in most situations. And a 0 would be somebody that is very, very quiet, very, very introverted. You would be an individual that would virtually hardly ever speak out in a group. So that'd be a very, very quiet person. A 10 would be somebody that's extremely outspoken and very, very extroverted. It's really interesting how a 10 may look at a 0 and a 0 may look at a 10. What would a group of 10s probably call a 0? A party poop? Yeah, party poop. Okay, I kind of like that one. Okay, Pete? Dodo? Dodo. Yeah, a 0 is a dodo. Anything else? You hear things like nerds, wimps, and often 10s would do that. Now, what would a 0 probably call a 10? A loudmouth? I had a bunch of 10s in a room one time, and I said, what would 0 probably call a 10? This one guy stood up. He says, I'll tell you what a 0 calls a 10. Sir. Those are opposites. Now, it doesn't mean that a 0's a wimp and a 10's a vinchat, okay? But what it does mean is that they're quite opposite, and sometimes they see each other in a negative fashion. Now, you can't pick a 5. You're not allowed to say you're a 5. You got to decide whether you go up to the high side or the low side. And a 10 doesn't have to be a loudmouth. A 10 is just somebody that's really outspoken, comfortable talking to anybody. Okay? A 0 can be a person that just enjoys time with themselves. They're very good listeners. They're nice to have around. And it's not a negative. It's just the way it is. So where would you be most of the time, most situations dealing with most people? And what you do is if you say, I think I'm about a 6 3/4, well, then just put a little mark there. On the next line from 0 to 10, very unstructured to structured. Okay, once you've done that, where do you feel you sit? Are you above the line or below the line? And now, a 0 would be somebody that's very, very unstructured on that second line, the B line. That's somebody that the meeting starts at 9, and they show up 20 after 9, 9:30. You ask them what day it is this Monday? They'll say, well, I don't know, is it Monday or Tuesday, or does it really matter? A 0 is very, very unstructured and casual. If you went and took a look at their car, you'd think they're into ecology, because everything that's on the street is also in their car. And by the way, nobody ever breaks into a 0's home or their car because they think somebody's already been there. That's the zero. When you go to the 10, that's somebody that's very, very structured, very, very regimented. They want things neat, clean, and tidy at their place as well as yours. And they're very, very structured and regimented in the way that they do things. A zero would walk into a 10's home and probably say, does somebody actually live here? Or is this a museum? A 10 would probably go into a zero's home and say, who's holding the garage sale? Or is this a flea market? And that's how they would view it. So where would you sit from scale from 0 to 10 most of the time in most situations, from 0 to 10 on being very, very unstructured and casual or being very, very structured? Now, you got that. Now, what I'm not going to do just because of time here, but normally, and you've got the tool there, it would be a good idea is that when you go home or when you go back to the business is to go find three people and get them a number on how they see you as quiet to outspoken and then average it. And then also go get three people to, on very unstructured to very structured, do the same thing. Okay, and then that gives you an opinion also where others see you, because sometimes we can be a little bit distorted in our own views of ourselves. And our friends and family and the people we work with are always kind enough to tell us the truth. What you've done, you've taken, you do that. Now, what you do is you go to this one, okay, and you'll find that on, that'll be slide 4, okay, how you see yourself. And I'm just going to take somebody here and I'm going to work with them a bit here on that 0 to 10 quiet outspoken, and it is Brahm. Quiet outspoken, 0 to 10 on that first line that you had. What did you have yourself? What number did you have yourself?
7.
He said, Bronze City says 7. Okay, right here. And unstructured to structured, 0 to 10. What did you have yourself?
8.
Yeah, 8. So he sees himself where these two lines come together. So the 8 will come across this way into that quadrant, and there you are. It's about here where he had himself on that scale. The point where the two lines came together was in the bottom left quadrant. The line would drop down from the number 7 point on the A line, which was the quiet to outspoken line. And then the line would move to the left from the number 8 point on the B line. Very unstructured to structured line. Where they meet would be where his personality would be positioned on the quick read tool. That's down in the bottom left corner quadrant. And Gary, quiet, outspoken, 0 to 10, where do you have yourself?
9.
And unstructured to structured?
3.
So there's Gary.
Gary was a 9 on line A and a 3 on line B. His line would go upwards from the 9 on line A and go to the left from the 3 on line B, and where the two lines met was in the top left quadrant, and that's where his personality style would sit within the quick read tool.
Each one of us will come up in a different spot, so I want you to do that. I want you to plot yourself on there from 0 to 10, quiet to spoken, unstructured to structured, and then just bring it over into the quadrant that it needs to go in. If you're having trouble with it, there's probably somebody alongside of you that's got all the answers to everything in the world anyway, and they probably would be glad to show you how to do it. How many of you has ended up in this top right-hand quadrant up in here when you plotted yourself, just out of interest? Anybody? This would be called your supporter if you ended up in that quadrant. Now, I'm going to go through what you call the four dominant characteristics first, and then I'm going to divide each quadrant into four again. And I want you to think of somebody you know that when it comes quiet to outspoken, they're only about a 1. Like they're very quiet most of the time. And then let's say that they're also very, very unstructured and they're about a 1. So you got somebody that's very unstructured and they're very quiet, not outspoken at all. Well, where those two lines would come together is right up in that top right-hand quadrant, right up in the corner. Very clearly, then that person would be very strong on the supporter characteristics. So if you were in there, or you know somebody that's in there, they would be dominant in these kind of characteristics. The supporter is a sensitive individual. They're going to be much more sensitive than some of the other styles in here. They usually lack structure. So structure to them is just not important. Okay, they're really casual about the way they run things and do things. Relationships are the big thing with them. They'll literally do anything to save the relationship. They will put up with a lot. They'll try to make sure the relationships are together. They'll work on the family in reference to relationships. So they're very high on relationship, and they love to help others. And they do it out of their heart. They don't even have to think about it. They're just there. They help. To persuade them, they need guarantees and assurances that things are going to be okay. These are not high risk takers. More guarantees, more assurances. Their speciality is a supportive role. So normally they work extremely well where they're supporting others, cooperating and helping. You'll often find them in careers where they're in helping careers, where they're out there devoting their time and giving to the community. Their downfall is a friend in need, at least according to some of the other styles, which means they will go too far. They will give the ship away because they don't value things in the same way that some of the other styles do. So their downfall can be a friend in need. Their backup style, under pressure, pressure on a supporter, what do? To get rid of the pressure, fit in. They're the kind of person, if you've got an argument going, a discussion, or we're all trying to decide what restaurant should we go to, what should we do, we're all of a sudden that person will say, look, if it'll make you happy, I'll go along with you. No, that's okay. That's not that important. No, we'll do it your way. That's the supporter under pressure. Now, how many of you ended up in the bottom right-hand quadrant, right here? Put your hands up. Down in the right-hand corner, if you fell into the right-hand corner, then what you've got, you're an analytical. And let me just say this, and I'm going to go to the extreme here. I want you to think, everybody, somebody that's about a 1 from quiet to outspoken, or less. But they're a 9.5 in structure and being regimented. So they're very, very structured and very, very quiet. That would mean those two lines would come together right there in that bottom right-hand corner, almost straight into the corner. That would be very clearly an analytical individual. Now, what are the analyticals like? Well, let's have a look. They say, give me the details. Give me the facts. Give me the data. They're very fact and detail oriented. Who would agree? What kind of jobs do you find them in? Accountants. That's right. The credit department at the bank. Engineers would be quite commonly have high analytical in them. So they say, give me the details. Give me the facts. I want the data on this. Save and face is important to them. An analytical does not like to be embarrassed or put up front or made fun of or put in an uncomfortable situation. Do you think I look like that kind of person? No. My personality style doesn't matter whether you embarrass me or not. I just move with it. But an analytical? No. Saving face is important to them. And you got to remember that when you're ready to take them on. Because if you put them on the spot, boy, they can write you off. They lack spontaneity. Because the analytical says, look, you said this is the way we're going, and that's specifically how long you said it was going to take, and they'll hold you to it. They lack spontaneity. To persuade them, support their principles and their thinking. In other words, their values. Their speciality is accuracy. They're very accurate to the detail. Their downfall on an analytical is a decision can take them forever. Why? Because they want more information. They want more data. Why? Because I don't want to be the one that made the call and be embarrassed about this. Okay? And so there's a tendency for them to really want to get the details together, and then they take a long time to make a decision because they don't want to make the wrong decision. Where some people in here will say, well, if 60% of my decisions are okay, I think we're still flying. Not the analytical. And their backup style under pressure is to avoid. Think of how many times you've got an analytical person in control of something, you're trying to get an answer off them, and they're still procrastinating on it and gathering more data, and they will avoid you. They won't even phone you back in a lot of cases. So the analytical under pressure will try to avoid the pressure. Now, how many of you ended up in the bottom left-hand quadrant? OK, Okay, a lot of us in here. Okay, so we ended up in that bottom right-hand quadrant. Now, let's just do it. Somebody that's 0 to 10, quiet, outspoken, let's say they're a 9.5 from quiet to outspoken. And then let's also say they're about a 9.5 on structure. Then that would put them right out here in the corner, wouldn't it? That's the extreme. And then this person is a controller. Sometimes we call it the driver. So you got your controller. So what's the controller like? Well, most of you people love results. And not tomorrow, but yesterday. Like, let's get it done. They love results. They like to be the decision makers. They also like to save time. They don't want to waste time. And they like to be in charge. Does that sound like you? So, I love results. I like to be a decision maker. I like to save time, and I like to be in charge. Now, tell me something. If you love results, you like to be the decision maker, you like to save time, and you like to be in charge, are you the most sensitive person in the world?
No.
I'm sensitive. Sure, I didn't see your face there. I was just trying to get through. Right? I mean, the controller drivers are known for hurting people's feelings, but not intentionally. They were just trying to get the job done. And you'll hear them say to people, you're thin-skinned. I mean, can't you take an insult? What's the problem? We're just having a little fun, but they're very direct, see. And their skin is very thick, okay? To persuade them, give them options and probabilities. Why? Because they like to be the decision makers. So you say to a controller driver, you know, there are a couple of options here. What do you think? See, they work better than saying this is the only way this can be done. So you give them options and probabilities. You support their conclusions and their actions. Why? Because they're conclusive thinkers. A conclusive thinker will meet somebody in 2 minutes, they'll say to somebody else, nah, the guy's not going to make it. I've seen his type before. Okay, they just conclude. With minimal amount of information, they will conclude. So they're very big on conclusion, and they're also, in reference to action, that's their big thing. Nothing makes a controller driver feel any better than somebody tell them, I've never seen anybody work like you. Man, can you work. Man, can you get a job done. Oh, want a job done? Give it to her, boy. Boom, she does it. Controller driver, we're high action. Their speciality is action now, and it is true. Do you want a job done? Give it to a controller driver. They can run with the ball. Their downfall is they have a need to be right. They will correct you continually. No, it wasn't that way. It wasn't 6 months ago. It was 5.5 months ago. They remember. So they have a need to be right, and they enjoy a good argument. Their backup style under pressure. It's my way or the highway. Either lead, follow, or get out of my way. If you're not going to do the job, I'll get somebody else to do it. So under pressure, they're not always that way, but if it's a pressured situation, these are the women. If a woman's, you'll hear them, you know, in the middle of the night downstairs, and you hear the vacuum cleaner going, you hear bang, crash, boom around the house, and you hear them saying, nobody else can do the job right, I'll do it myself. You know, that's that driver controller, okay? High action. Now, then there's the promoter, and that's that top left-hand corner. And where's my little quadrant here? So I want you to think of somebody that from quiet to outspoken, they're about a 9.5, and they're about a 1 on structure. Very little structure and very talkative. That would put them right out there in that corner. Now, let me tell you about the promoter expressive types. They love applause. Let's give Gary an applause for him and his station for putting things together so well. But they like applause. So you'll find them in the center of things. They're also the best starters. They'll start fast. How they finish sometimes is questionable. But they're definitely fast starters because they get excited about things quickly. And they'll grab it and they'll run with it. They love to save effort. Now, with the controller driver, it was save time. But the expressive likes to save effort. You know, they'll take shortcuts. They'll look for ways not to have to repeat that. And often some of your a good majority of your inventors have this personality type within them because they're always seeing better ways to do things. They are influenced by their dreams and their intuition, which is quite different than an analytical who is influenced by their facts and their data. And this person would drive an analytical crazy. Because you could be trying to solve a problem in your business. Everybody goes home and has a sleep. The expressive promoter type walks in the morning and says, got the answer. I got the answer to our problem. And somebody says, how did you get it? Says, no, I was dreaming. And there was a seagull flew by. And it started talking to a crow. And they said this. And when I woke up immediately, I put together what they said. And I knew it was a symbol that this is the direction we should go. And the analytical says, take him away. He's dangerous. The expressive person, seriously, they go a lot on their intuition. And it works well for them. You know, they do see things. They pick up from other places, and over time, they become very confident at it. To persuade them, testimonies and incentives. So an expressive will like a testimony. An analytical will look at a testimony and say, yeah, he probably wrote it himself. And the expressive would say, yeah, he probably did it, but I like the way he wrote it. Maybe I could get my customers to do that as well. Yeah, I like this guy. So testimonies and incentives. So you want to put rewards out there in the carrot, well, these people like that. They like chasing it. They enjoy it. Their speciality is expressive. If they're talking to an Italian, within a couple of minutes, they have an Italian accent. So they actually switch. They don't even realize it when they're talking to people. So they're very expressive. They click into people quickly. Their downfall is a lack of focus. Lack of focus and follow through, and they have a tendency to think out loud. So they think out loud. If they're thinking of something, all of a sudden they'll say it. They'll volunteer too quickly. They'll all of a sudden somebody says, can somebody volunteer to do this? And very quickly they'll say, I'll do it. And then afterwards, what do? You think, I really didn't have the time. So you got to watch them. They'll overcommit themselves. Their backup style under pressure is attack. So if they happen to manage or own a business, when there's things not working well, they don't come in and usually say, okay, everybody, come and talk to me. Well, I'll listen to what you have to say about what you think should happen in the business. The expressive will probably walk in and say, I'll tell you what's wrong around here. Number one is you've been late for the last 3 days. Okay, I don't know where you've been. You've been on vacation or something. And we're not out there getting the calls done. And you need to do this. You need to do that. And they'll attack under pressure. So the tendency under pressure is to attack. If you criticize them, if they were late for a meeting and you said you've been screwing up the meetings here because you end up here late each morning, they just have to turn around and say, yeah, you're not perfect because you were late a couple of weeks ago yourself. So that would be their style.
Go to your manual in Module 4 and look at slide number 16. It shows how each of the four quadrants are broken down into four smaller quadrants. And if you didn't fall into one of the far corners of the four big quadrants, then your style will be a mixture of two of the personality profile descriptions. This slide will be now described at the live audience session.
If you're in the top right-hand corner, you'd be a supporter. So that's very, very dominant in the supporter characteristics. Now, if you drop just down from that right-hand corner, then you would be an analytical supporter. Right? So, because it's next to the analytical. If you're in here, then you would be a promoter supporter. In that right-hand quadrant up in the top left. And then if you're down in here in the middle, you would be a controlling supporter, which is kitty corner or opposite to the controller. If you're down in the corner here, that'd be an analytical. That would be an AA. He may belong to the AA too, I don't know. And that's not the Automobile Association. And then you would have supporter analytical. Then you have got the controlling analytical next to the controller box. And then kitty corner to the promoter, that would be a promoter analytical, an expressive analytical.
The controller quadrant and the promoter quadrant each are also broken down into four quadrants, similar to what was just described for the supporter and analytical. You may want to look at that breakdown in your manual.
Who would agree with me that just as a quick tool, that it actually was fairly accurate for you? Now, you go to some other people and get them to give you some numbers very quickly, then it's amazing, you know, when you see what they say, you say. Sometimes it will vary a bit, but not usually. It'll be pretty darn close to being accurate. Now, how do you take and use this? Well, it's easy for me to check with a secretary before I have an appointment with somebody to ask, from 0 to 10, where does he sit? From 0 to 10, where does he sit? Plot it out and have a good idea before I walk in. There's certain types of careers that people seem to be in. So this kind of information needs to be used continually when dealing with people. Now, when it comes to selling to the various styles, sensitivity is key. Give them space. Like a driver-controller type, you can get up real close to them and it's not a problem, won't bother them. A supportive type person will begin to back off if you get too close to them. They just feel a little bit shy about it. You got to look at the space. Tone is important. Usually supportive type people talk quite low. They'll come into your business and say, you know, my wife and I are thinking of buying some furniture and we're not sure what to do and I wonder if we could get somebody to help us. So if you say, look, no, I can help you, or I got a gentleman right over here, he'll look after you. Is that important? Yes. It's what we call matching. So tone is important. They think feelings. Even if you ask them a question, a lot of us, because we're head-oriented, will say, what do you think of that? You know the language that a supporter likes to hear? How do you feel about that? Not, what do you think of it? You say, how do you feel about that? And they'll often say, well, you know, I feel we shouldn't do this, or I feel this. They'll talk feel more than they will think. Ask for their support. It's a good way to move a supportive. Look, I'm going to need your help. I need your support here. That language rings a bell. Show, okay, prove trust to them because they're looking at you. It's the trust thing. It's relationship. Move at their speed. With a slower move and quieter, more careful, supportive people, you can't move too fast with them. You got to take your time. Don't box them in. They'll feel very uncomfortable. They won't come back. Nice, easy, comfortable approach with them. Very down-to-earth way of dealing with them. Relationship build. Be helpful. Don't rush them. And respect their loved ones and show you care for humanity. And walk the talk around that subject. And don't ask them to take risks. They're not big risk takers. They really aren't. And console and listen to them and move them slowly to acceptance. And big thing is, don't rush. Don't push. If you try to push them too fast, you're going to take and you're going to lose them. Selling to the analytical. Cover the fine points. If you're talking analyticals, make sure you got the details in there. Be accurate. Be specific. Details. Deliver quality. Talk savings and security. Do your research. Ask for their input. Okay? Don't push them. An analytical doesn't like to be pushed. They do not naturally like sales type people. They feel uncomfortable with them. So be careful with the pushing. And don't embarrass them. And don't be too flashy. Respect their space. Be friendly. Don't interrupt. Don't touch. You don't walk up to the average analytical and says, give me a big hug. Okay? You know, they hug like this. They are not too comfortable with that big hug you want to give them. Don't change direction once they've agreed. So once they've agreed with you, you're going to do something, you try to stick to the direction. Respect their schedule, their pace. And by the way, with an analytical, when an analytical says you phone, you say, I want 20 minutes. At the 20-minute mark, they're going to want you to be finished. So you got to respect their schedule. Give them all the information they need to make a decision. Data, graphs, charts, reports. They'll actually read them. Okay? There are styles of people you give all these reports to, they never read them anyway. They just look at the executive summary. Acknowledge and work within their principles and their thinking. Now, selling to the controller, the driver type. Talk results. They want to know, what's the results going to be here? Talk profits. Be concise. Be clear. Don't waste their time. Stick to business. Forget all that personal crap. Let's just get on with business. Don't try to control them. Like, that's where you got to give them the options. Use logic, because they're quite left-brained in their thinking. Summarize. Hit the highlights. Do it quickly, just like I'm going through this. Okay, with the controllers, you can say, and talk bottom line. Give them options. Outline the probabilities and show your ability. Because the controller will say, talk's cheap. Let's see you do it. Show me the money. Okay, that's the controller. They have a nice, strong, direct posture with the controller. Like, they do not want some wishy-washy person coming to see them. Step up to them, okay? They like to see somebody that's strong, okay, and step up to them. So strong, direct posture. Don't be too chatty with them. Don't get too personal. And if you want the real respect, show them. Action. Action Jackson. That's them. Okay? And expect a challenge from the controller types. They'll take you on for the fun of it. Just for the fun of it, they'll give you a hard time. So if you're not ready for that, and I'll tell you what, they can also take it. Like, there's one thing about a controller driver type. If they fire one at you, you can turn right around and fire it back at them. And they'll actually respect you for it versus lying down for them. They like you to stand up to them. Exude energy and fun with the promoter expressive type. The promoter expressive is like a good joke. They like to have some fun. Exude energy and fun. Give them compliments. Compliment them on their business. Compliment them on their personal things that they do. Appropriate contact is okay with the promoter. The promoter is the type you can, you know, you can fool around with. The expressive type person, you can give them a little whack on the arm, or expressive type woman, you can be talking to her and give her a little hug, and she'll give you a little hug and giggle and giggle, and you know, is that kind of stuff. You grab an analytical, she'll slap your face. Or she'll run, okay, like that. But appropriate contact is okay. They love wit. The expressive promoters love playing with wit. Show flexibility with them, because they're very flexible. Don't criticize them. They like applause, they don't like criticism. They'll attack under pressure. Visually show your response. It kills an expressive promoter type person. They don't get any response. If you've got a salesperson working in your business and they're expressive, after they make a deal, I mean, do they just walk back into the business? Like, an analytical makes a sale, and you never know it until the figures come out. Because they'll come in and say, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to surprise them. Now sneak over. You say, how's it going? Things are kind of slow. Okay, they won't tell you. The expressive. They just cut a big deal. They come through the door. Got it, man. You ought to see what I did. And they're just all talk, right? And I did it. And then if they've got a boss that says something like this, so what? That's what you get paid for. You want to knock out the wind out of that balloon real fast? Be personal. They're very personal. Talk to them, not down to them. Nothing bugs them more than somebody coming and speaking down at them. Have time for them. Keep them away from the details. Don't put them in charge of your bank account. Show them the positive impact they have on you, okay? Show them how to save effort and look good. They like that. Be willing to listen to them expand their concepts, because they can do it. And keep them on focus. And give them the opportunity to be first in, a pace setter, and ahead of the pack. Now, that's your four basic styles, and you take and mix those, because most of us are a mixture of a couple of these styles.
Understanding personality profiles really helps in building rapport with clients, those we work with, and those we live with. We'll now add some additional skills that can help you be even more effective in building rapport with others. We'll start with drop the traditional roles.
Drop the traditional roles when you're building rapport. And what do I mean by a role? Let your personal stuff, personal individual that you are, come through in a professional way. And you see it, I mean, salespeople are known for it. You know, I mean, a lot of times you can see a realtor coming a mile away. You know, they come to your house and they want you to list their house. They get out of the car, they get the suit on, they get the briefcase, they come over to the house. And there's a little sign on their forehead that says, salesperson, salesperson, salesperson. That's the role. So careful of the roles. Monitor your body language. 7% is in the words that we use in one-to-one communications in reference to effectiveness. 23% is in the tone of the voice. Now, what if I said, this is really good stuff in this program in reference to all these styles, and it is the most commonly used material in our system, and everybody is really excited about it. And me, I'm just knocked out. That's tone of voice, okay? 35% is facial expression, what comes from your face. And we don't realize it, how powerful our face is. Are you happy? Good. You happy? Yeah. You happy? Good. Tell your face. he's an awfully big guy to say that to, you know, and I was a little nervous, eh? But I used to work with a guy, and he'd come through, and he'd say, "Are you happy?" And people would say, "Yep." Well, tell your face. Do you like your job? Love it. Well, tell your face. And we don't realize how important that face is, eh? And we get doing things. It doesn't mean we're not happy, but we forget to reflect it. So that facial expression is 35%, and 35% is in body language. Whether we're open, how we're sitting, that whole thing that comes across. You know, when somebody says, "Yes, I agree," and you go, "No, you don't." Well, how do you know that? No, you know, your body language is screaming five times as loud as your voice. Because that's not really what they're saying. Match, mirror, pace. What does that mean? That's the stuff I just touched on in reference to tone. That you've got to take with people. Look, if you're a quiet person and somebody comes along and you say, "How are you today?" And the person says, "I'm on the top side of wonderful, just hanging out west of heaven." And you go, "Great." That's not matching the mirror and pacing with the person. You've got to kind of juice yourself up and you go, "Wow, that's great, man. It's nice to see somebody so positive." Not good. You know, so it's the same thing as if you're expressive, quiet and down, and work with that other person. And the same thing with body language. If you're sitting with somebody and they're leaned back with their chair at a desk, and you're on the other side of the desk, and you put your elbows forward and they're leaned back, that's not matching. If they're leaned back and they're relaxed, then you lean back and relax a little bit, and it seems to click things in a little better when you do that. Use understandable language. Be careful of industry jargon. Because you use it all the time, but maybe you're dealing with somebody that hardly ever uses it and they don't know what you're talking about. And make a list of the industry jargon that you do use. And then from there, take and work with it. Use storytelling if you want to build rapport. And we use stories, as you see. And you tell a little story about somebody, and that picks it up and that locks it in. So always have lots of stories. When somebody says, "Geez, I don't know if that'll work," you say, "Let me tell you a story. We had a guy in here 3 days ago. Here's what he did with it." Okay? That's more convincing often than facts and data. So that you take and you use stories. And listen through clarification if you want to build rapport. In other words, listen to understand, not just to respond.
According to my son, Shane Gibson, selling is creating an environment so an act of faith can take place. Part of creating that environment is getting prospects and clients comfortable with you so they feel more comfortable to be more open and honest. In turn, you'll also become more open and honest. When two parties are open and honest, a real win-win transaction can be put together. If we're not being open and honest, there's a very good chance someone is going to lose, possibly both of us. Remember, in most transactions, if two people like and respect each other, the details of the transaction will look after themselves. The other side of the coin is, if two people don't like and respect each other, the details won't matter because there probably won't be a transaction. Rapport building helps others to like and respect you. Most of this module has been centered around building personal rapport. If you add business rapport to personal rapport, you're even more powerful. Business rapport is where you show a client the actual measurable results you've achieved with other clients and how you can do the same for him or her. This kind of language gets the client's attention, especially top executives. What we're really saying is you must be able to prove you can deliver the results or the personal rapport will lose its power. Thanks for listening.